Hey, good morning. Welcome back into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Talking today with Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, and continuing on here discussion with activities going on here in the local area, Fort Riley. We talked about some activities earlier here. There's some redeployments going on as well, as I understand.
Well, no, I mean, we had the NTC come back, but yeah, here in a few months, we're going to start seeing soldiers start to flow back in from some deployments. But that will be still a few months out, but there's a lot of preparation that goes into those guys coming back. The other thing that we have to be aware of when folks are out, and I've mentioned this before, is there's a lot of National Guard and Reserve formations that come into the area and train. They'll be wearing a different patch on their left sleeve. It won't be the big red one that you normally see, but similar uniforms. And they come in to the area through the course of a year, about 21,000 to 25,000 different soldiers that train at Fort Riley. So those are elements that we don't necessarily take into account when we're talking about force structure on Fort Riley. But the folks that operate all the ranges and the facilities and the training infrastructure out at Fort Riley, they truly know that there's a number of soldiers that come from outside the state that come into the state to train. And so I tell people, just start looking for that. When you go out into the restaurants, and especially during lunch, take a little glance at their left shoulder. And if you see a different patch, that's probably somebody that's serving in a different state and probably a reserve or a National Guardsman.
Okay. Yeah, very cool. As we continue on here, I want to talk a little bit about a confirmation that happened last week. That was Lieutenant General Paul Funk. Became a four-star general.
Yeah, the Three Corps commander and former 1st Infantry Division commander here at Fort Riley. A lot of people will recognize the name. And, what great news for really this area and for Fort Riley, because we'll have somebody leading training and doctoring command, which really is the leader of formulating the institution as far as our what we call doctrine and professional education. We'll have somebody that's familiar with Fort Riley, understands the merits of Fort Riley, what type of training we can do here, and that it's a great place to really serve, deploy from, return home to, and ultimately call your home. So, yeah, this is the time of year where we'll see a lot of movement in senior leadership in our Army. It's just a normal course. So you have Paul that was nominated to be the new training and doctrine commander. You have the vice chief of staff of the Army, Jimmy McConville, who is fleeting up to become the chief of staff of the Army. And then our current chief of staff of the Army, Mark Milley, who was nominated by the president to become the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which is really important for those that wear us Army above our left breast pocket. That's critical. But for those here in the local area, we'll start seeing some of our leadership out at Fort Riley come on orders as well, especially the assistant division commanders. Both of them have come down on orders, and they'll be departing, and we'll see new one stars come into the formation out in the big red one. And that's a common practice that we have in our Army. It creates turmoil in some regards because people become attached and get to know the individuals, and then they leave. But I think it's a good thing to do because it really creates renewed energy. And we still have the continuity out there that will maintain operations at Fort Riley.
Yeah, sounds like it's a very deserving honor for Mr. Funk here.
Oh, yeah, for Paul, absolutely. He's from his whole family. His father, of course, was a lieutenant general and retired, and it's a great family business, and I congratulate Paul Funk.
Very good. Well, I know last month when we had you here, we were talking about the ways the area and the state is trying to improve the quality of life here for soldiers. And has there been any movement on that here in the last month?
Yeah, I recently had the opportunity to conduct a Governor's Military Council with Governor Kelly and several of the council members, and we discussed and walked and talked through things to improve quality of life. So we're looking at education, particularly opportunities for those separating or retiring from the service and what Kansas can do in order to help facilitate their smooth transition into if they want to go to school, whether that's a university, whether that's a technical school. So those are areas where we're focusing. How can we make it easier, maybe reduce the cost? And another area that we're looking is, of course, we talked about this in the past, credentialing and licensures. So we were able to overcome the hurdle that was experienced by nurses that came into the state and had an out-of-state license and being able to join a compact that enables them to not have to go through the licensure fees to get their credential license. Now we're starting to focus on education because we are short teachers here in the state of Kansas. We could use those individuals in our classrooms. And so we're trying to work hard with the Board of Education and others to see if we can reduce the friction of somebody coming from out of state and make it a smooth transition once again into getting them into the classroom at least cost, least testing requirement, and really accept their credentials and their licenses. Because overall, I think it helps the state of Kansas if we can maintain that intellectual capital here as opposed to them having to go somewhere else to maintain their work. And unfortunately, in today's time, a lot of these soldiers that are coming, they are married. And that's not the unfortunate thing. The unfortunate thing is they both have jobs, and it's hard for that spouse to try to maintain where they're at in the employment world when they've got to fight and work through all these challenges with credentialing and licensing. So we're working to do that as well. The other thing that we're doing is workforce. So, for example, Kansas Works has entered into an MOU with Soldier for Life and the transition program out at Fort Riley. And what that does is there's an intern program. Not a lot of people know about this, but the government will enable a soldier to enter into an intern program with a business with the design that when they come out on the other end, they'll be given a job if they meet the requirements and all. But the employers don't have to pay them. The Department of Defense will continue to pay their salary for 4 months or so while they're going through this internship, so that transition is made even smoother for that service member either separating or retiring. And that's huge. We haven't had that in the past. So it really reduces the risk on the employer, and it maximizes them, the soldier, getting a smooth transition into the civilian world.
That's great. Well, I think another component of that, you know, making it smooth, especially for young families in the military, reducing the burden of child care, because it's so expensive.
It's extremely expensive, you know, and with the hours that soldiers do, you know, for PT, physical training, and then some of the late hours they have to do because of exercises, it is very challenging and complex on families to do that. Specifically, we have a lot of single parents in the military as well, and they're absolutely dependent on child services that can take care of their children, especially at hours that are earlier than what the traditional child development center will take on the children. So it's very expensive. It's critical, and it really has an impact on readiness for our formation. So there's always a need for that. There's always not enough, and you know, I will tell you, if the soldier has peace of mind that their child is taken care of when they're at work or training or doing those things, you have a better soldier and you have a really better prepared soldier, mentally and physically.
Yeah, I would echo that for sure. 957 here, News Radio came in. Any other topics before we let you go here?
No, you know, I mean, we're like I said, this is going to be a heavy training period out at Fort Riley. So, you know, I tell people all the time, there's a lot of social events and things where you normally see soldiers out and about and they're attending. As somebody who has held a senior leadership position that's gone through a war fighter, I can tell you that they're going to be pretty much locked in and focused on this particular exercise, and rightfully so, because it is really a pinnacle event. and you won't see them out and about. That's not because they don't want to be there. It's not because, they don't want to enjoy the social aspects that you normally see them at. It's just because they just can't. So I just ask people to bear with the leadership out at Fort Riley as they focus on really their warfighting event, pinnacle event as a division, and understand when that's over, they'll be ready to go outside the wire and share a drink and party with everybody and socialize. But right now, it's going to be a busy time at Fort Riley for the next month.
All right. Sounds good. Dave, do you have anything you want to chime in on?
You know, I the only thing that I was going to comment on when we heard the news about General Funk and his promotion, I thought that was amazing. That was amazing. I saw also that former CG Vincent Brooks was on TV recently. I saw him being interviewed when there was some Korea stuff that was going on. I didn't realize that he had retired.
Yep.
But now he's doing some television kind of consultant type things.
Sure. I mean, a lot of folks that retire and hang the uniform up go and work is, of course, folks, subject matter experts for a lot of news agencies. Vince Brooks is probably one of the smartest individuals I've ever met, so he's ideally suited to talk about that, specifically Korea.
I was ready to campaign for him for president. First time I heard him speak, I don't think I've ever been so blown away by a speaker in my life as I was when he spoke at, and that was at a chamber retreat.
Absolutely. He and Carol are deserving their well-deserved retirement out there in Texas, and I wish them all the best.
Yeah. Good to have you in, sir. Thank you.
Great to be in.
Coming up on In Focus tomorrow, Karen Hibbard with the Manhattan Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. And also we'll visit with Tina Rockhold about Mercy Foundation having a new lab that they're setting up. It's a hospital cath lab. So that's going to be good news for the community, too. It's 10 a.m. at KMAN. CBS News is next.
Come in and see your neighbors at Carpet One of Manhattan on Fort Riley Boulevard. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan. This is CBS News on the Hour. Sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I'm Steve Kaysen. Authorities in Kentucky are running a DNA test on a 14-year-old.